Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Twins Magazine.
Get out of here.
Every Saturday, we go behind the scenes with the Twins and Major League Baseball. Twins Magazine is brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores. Hardware and garden made easy with 22 convenient metro locations. By Cookies, Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, the award-winning sauces America loves to eat. By The Canopy Group, representing 16 different insurance companies.
Still tracking, get up. Gone. Warning track, wall, that ball is gone, a home run.
By North Star Problem Gambling Alliance, hope is a phone call away. And by APA Medical, your expert medical equipment resource since 1970. Now, here are Steve Thompson and Eric Nelson on your home for Minnesota Twins baseball. News Radio 830 WCCO.
All right, we're glad you're along for the ride on this Memorial Day Saturday. 92 degrees, wind out of the west at 10, the heat is on, and Twins Magazine show is on as well. It's 7:35. Eric Nelson with you. J-Lo, Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator. Kevin Reed is the program producer. And, of course, we'll hear from Steve Thompson later on in the program. We have many great segments coming your way. But first and foremost, let's look back at what happened last night.
Here's the Twins game recap on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Yeah, the Twins ran into a buzzsaw by the name of James Paxton. He was dominant for the Mariners. The ball game took just 2 hours, 14 minutes to play. Paxton giving up one run, three hits in seven innings. He struck out 11. Seattle won it 2-1 as he outdueled Minnesota's Fernando Romero, who in just his fifth career start gave up only two runs on five hits in seven innings. So a classic pitchers matchup in the Emerald City, and Paxton was just a little bit better than Fernando Romero. So the Mariners take the opening game of the weekend series. Mitch Haniger's two-out RBI single in the sixth inning proved to be the game-winning RBI, and Seattle is very good in squeaker games. The Mariners have now won 14 one-run games, most in the American League, and they have played in five straight one-run contests. Nick Vincent bridged the eighth inning for the Mariners, and Edwin Diaz pitched the ninth for his AL-leading 18th save of the season. Max Kepler slugged his seventh home run of the year for the Twins. Once again, Mariners win it 2-1 tonight. Game two, the Twins are 21-25. Seattle 30-20. Jake Odorizzi, he's 3-2 on the year, 3.17 ERA against Wade LeBlanc, 0-0 record, 2.65 ERA. All right, we are chock full and loaded with segments here in the magazine show, and we'll start by going behind the scenes and checking out somebody who has a very important role at Target Field.
Let's go behind the scenes with the Minnesota Twins on WCCO's Twins Magazine.
We're behind the scenes at Target Field with Mitch Rotelny, the manager of marketing and promotions for the Minnesota Twins. And Mitch, you have a job that's very important in this organization. You're a guy that kind of helps determine what they're going to do as far as gate giveaways and theme nights. And fans love to know what they're going to get for free.
Yeah, you know, it's something that is really part of baseball now. It's been for a long time. And fans, you know, there's the schedule that comes out, and that's always exciting. But the secondary part is, what are the promos? What are the theme nights? And, you know, fans always like to get something. And, you know, I take it as something that's really important because we want to make sure fans, you know, come here, get something, enjoy the game, and leave the game. And have something that they can carry on with them for a long time.
you know, back in the day, it was pretty simple. You had bat day, ball day, cap day. That was about it. Now you have gate giveaways and theme nights. And I know the Twins are great about the theme nights, North Dakota State night, St. Thomas, Minnesota United, whatever. But tell me what the difference between giveaways and theme nights are.
Yeah, so a gate giveaway is something that we do usually. You'll see first 10,000, or, you know, on opening day we did first 30,000. And then that's just if you have a regular ticket, you come through the gates, and if you're those first 10,000 or whatever person, you'll get an item. The theme nights are a little different in that they're special ticket packages, and they're a little bit more niche. You know, like you said, we have the United night, so that's, you know, trying to look at our Twins fans and United fans and bring them together. We have Star Wars night for the Star Wars lover, and things like the university nights. And so it's something that we can do because not everybody that comes through the gate might be a UND fan, NDSU fan, U of M fan, but we obviously have a lot of those fans in the area. So we're able to kind of work with those schools, tap into the passion, the shared passion for the universities and the Twins, and kind of come up with something that's really exciting for those fans.
We're going behind the scenes here at Target Field with the manager of marketing and promotions for the Minnesota Twins, Mitch Ratelny. And Mitch, certainly the hoodie giveaway on opening day, that's become incredibly popular. And then the other night you had the Border Battle t-shirts with Milwaukee and Minnesota. So when you cut something off at 10,000 or 20,000, you know there are going to be some fans who maybe don't get what they want because they get here too late.
Yeah, it's you know, something that we always hear. A big portion of the reason we do these promotions is also to encourage fans to get here early and as an incentive to reward fans mm-hmm. for coming here early. And for us, that's kind of what we've decided to do as on the business side. And it's something, obviously, opening day, you know, there's a larger number, but 10,000 is usually the number that we do. And again, it's kind of an incentive and reward for fans to come who do come out early, show up at the ballpark early.
So the key is you want to get one of these things. Yes, get to the ballpark early, get parked, get settled in, all that stuff. Certainly Prince theme night. The Minnesota Twins have a nice connection with Prince, the musical icon from Minneapolis. Explain exactly what that is.
So last year, we were fortunate enough to be able to have a Prince night, the first inaugural Prince night, and we gave away the Prince Purple Rain umbrellas. And obviously, we know what Prince means to the cities, the Twin Cities, and how important he is. And so because of the success last year and how happy the estate was, how happy we were, we ended off the season and said we'd love to see, one, if we can do it again, but two, how can we do more to celebrate this, you know, Minnesota icon? And so this year we decided not only are we going to do a gate giveaway, but we're going to do a theme night package to bring two unique things for the fans. Obviously, the first 10,000 fans will receive the Prince inflatable guitar, which is shaped after his infamous Super Bowl guitar. And then there is also a theme night package that has a Prince Twins co-branded hat. So again, you could buy the theme night package, and that guarantees you the hat. And then if you show up early enough, you can still get the guitar too. So just, you know, we want to do something exciting for Prince fans, for Twins fans, and you know, raising the level of things we've done is something, you know, we're really excited about.
And anything with that Prince logo or insignia on it, you know it's going to be a hot item. So we can't wait for that later on in the season. Now, you're a Miami guy, South Florida. How'd you get to Minneapolis? And what's the difference, say, between marketing to fans in the upper Midwest and maybe a place like Miami, Fort Lauderdale?
So, yeah, I'm originally from Miami, Florida, and I was actually in law school and initially got an internship here with the Twins. Long story short, I actually applied for the baseball operations internship, did not get that internship, and then was given the opportunity to interview with the marketing department. And, you know, they said, hey, do you want to come up? So I came up, I interned 2013 season, finished the season, then went back, finished law school, and when I graduated law school, I actually had the opportunity to come back. You know, the thing for me, obviously, I had to learn real quick, born and raised in Miami, Florida. But something that you really notice is just the passion that Twins fans have. And when you walk around, you know, it's easy. You just see Twins everywhere. So I think, you know, it's a little different than in Miami, Florida. And I think it's a little easier because the passion's there. So I think it's just about, you know, doing things that people are going to enjoy. And for me, it's that people are going to use, because I see how much people wear the, you know, hats, shirts, and doing those kind of things. I always think about, just, are these things that people are going to use because they want to use them? You know, when you do something with a Twins logo, it's something that our fans are proud of. And just that passion, it to tap into it, it makes it really exciting.
Yeah, it's a magical brand, but you want to have practicality. You want to give away something that people are going to use and enjoy. Final thought. The rise of the bobblehead in terms of popularity. We've seen it now for the last 20, 25 years in Major League Baseball and around sports. Are you ever amazed that bobbleheads just are still in vogue?
No. Bobbleheads, and I think obviously they span all sports these days, but I still think, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when you think bobblehead is baseball. I think now, more than ever, though, the biggest thing we're looking is just to make sure the bobbleheads we do have a little bit more and try to find those stories within those bobbleheads. I think we've done a really good job this year of kind of doing something a little unique for our main bobbleheads. We obviously also have a Johan Santana Hall of Fame bobble. But, you know, for example, this year we took our outfielders and the motto, nothing falls but raindrops. And, you know, we could have done three separate bobbles, and each of the three can live separately, but for us it was really important to really feature the outfielders together, because that is kind of how they came up last year. They prided themselves, and it was about all three. So, you know, this is a set that can live individually, but it's a series, so it comes together because it has a stadium background and connects with each other. And so doing things like that, I think, is the fun part about bobbleheads. They'll always be around, I think, for sure. But I think we here at the Twins are just trying to see what can we do to take them up the next level, kick it up a little notch.
Yeah, ratchet it up. All right, Mitch, great to catch up with you. Good luck with all the promotions, the giveaways, and the theme nights.
Thank you so much.
That segment brought to you by APA Medical and Gull Dam Brewing at 746. We'll have more coming up on the Twins Magazine show on WCCO. Fourth of July heat over Memorial Day weekend, 92 degrees, wind out of the west at 10, it's 7:50. Welcome back to the Twins Magazine show, and of course, something we do each week is we catch up with one of the wives. Joined now by Liz Gibson, the wife of Twins right-hand pitcher Kyle Gibson. It's our Twins Wives segment, and Liz, thanks so much for your time. And as always, a lot going on with the gals connected with the ball players on the Minnesota Twins. June is going to be a busy month, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thanks for having me.
Tell me first and foremost about wine, women, and baseball.
Sure. We do this a few times throughout the year. It's over at a hotel close to the field, and they host an event for all the ladies. Different vendors come, and people can try out their products and have some wine, and then a few of us wives will come over and answer questions that some of the ladies want to ask.
It's been popular in the past. What's the date of this year's event, and how can people get tickets?
Sure. June 1st is this upcoming one that we're doing. I believe it's the first one of the season. And then I think just online, if you go and do a search on the Twins website of Wine, Women, and Baseball, it'll come up and prompt you on how to get tickets for it. It's usually a very fun event, though. All the ladies love it.
Yeah, hard to believe June 1 is Friday, so that's coming up quickly. If you want to check that out, certainly a great event, a great cause. Also, the in-game Wives booth. There's a huge auction that goes on in connection with that, Libs. Tell us about it.
Sure. We have in-game wives booth nights throughout the summer, and our next one is on the 22nd of June, so a couple of us ladies will be there selling different things. We do a mystery ball in a bag, so you'll pick out a ball that's in a bag and is autographed by one of the players. We sell t-shirts and a couple other goodies, and all the money goes in our pot, basically, so we can distribute to different charities in the Twin Cities.
Anything special that Kyle likes to do that's going to be part of that that you'll try to auction off?
So the auction is actually in August this year, and we do favorite things. Kyle and I really need to decide what we're doing this year. In the past, we've done golf, we've done grilling, water sports, fishing. So we've done a gamut of things. We got to really try to get creative and come up with something new for this year.
Liz Gibson, our guest this week on the Twins Wives segment here on the Magazine Show. She, of course, is married to Twins pitcher Kyle Gibson. Also, I know that there's a big campaign with the players and the wives for a school in Haiti. And this is something we touched on the last time you and I were on the airwaves together. But the wives have a deep concern for what's happened in Haiti and also trying to help that country move forward.
Certainly. A few years ago, Renee Dozier and I and other wives at the time had gone down and seen what Help One Now is doing down there, and just kind of the destruction and then the people trying to find hope in things. And we just fell in love with Haiti and the people there. So we are, the campaign is really four guys who are doing it, either home runs or strikeouts, and trying to raise enough money to build a secondary school. So basically more of a high school, because once these kids finish a low level of school, they are basically, they have nothing. They have to try to find a job, and causes a lot of problems. So we really want them to get a great education so they can just move forward and the country can move forward as a whole. And I just checked, and we're at about $113,000 raised, and we are trying to get to about $400,000 by the end of the season. So anybody that can help, whether it's, you know, a dollar for every strikeout or a dollar for a win, anything helps. And you just, on that, it's pledgeit.org, and then you can do a Twins players search and find all the different campaigns for each guy and then the team as well.
Yeah, that sounds like another fabulous cause. So I hope some of our listeners will get involved with that. Certainly it's been an interesting year for the Minnesota Twins, and your husband, Kyle Gibson, his record very deceiving, Liz, 1-3, but a lot of quality starts. So it's been a mixed bag. He's had solid outings, but hasn't always come away with the victory.
Yeah, and that's any sport. That's baseball. We see that throughout the years. And he feels good, and I think the team as a whole just feels that this is not over by any means. You know, we're going into June here, but they have a lot of hope and still feel that this is a really good, solid team. So just keeping everybody healthy and trying to keep the ball rolling with, you know, a couple wins in a row here and there and keeping it going.
Twins are in Seattle tonight. You'll hear the game right here on WCCO, your flagship home for Minnesota Twins baseball. They wind up the series with the Mariners tomorrow, and then they'll be at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. And I know for you, Liz, you and Kyle have Missouri connections. You both met at the U of M in Columbia. You'll be heading south on I-35, going to catch some of the games at the K, and Kyle is scheduled to pitch on Tuesday against the Royals. So that's always a treat for you to go back into the state of Missouri, the Show Me State.
It absolutely is. Most of our family is on the other side of the state, but it's a short three-hour drive for them, so we'll have quite a bit of family there, get to see them, and just, yeah, Missouri, the ties there, we love it on the plaza there where we can do things with the kids, and of course the Kauffman Stadium is great too. They've really done a great job there.
Yeah, it's my favorite ballpark that I've ever been to. I love it. And you're getting warmed up literally here in the Twin Cities. We've got Kansas City Heat this weekend, so you're going to go right down into that stuff in KC, which is certainly more typical of Kansas City.
It is, but I think the evening should be nice. You know, it'll be 70-something, hopefully, and that'll be a great night for baseball.
All right, Liz, thanks so much for joining us this week. We'll talk down the road. Good luck as you head down to KC, and congrats on all the good stuff you and the wives do.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Liz Gibson here on the Twins Magazine Show on WCCO. Yes, indeed, always good to catch up with one of the Twins' wives. They do tremendous work in the community, and as you heard, Liz Gibson and the family will be trekking down I-35 to Kansas City tomorrow, getting ready for that three-game series, Twins and Royals at Kauffman Stadium. Tonight, though, the Twins are in Seattle. They will take on the Mariners in Game 2 of the three-game weekend series and then finish it up tomorrow against Seattle at Safeco Field. So it's a six-game trip for the Twins. That segment, by the way, brought to you by Gul-Dan Brewing and the Canopy Group on WCCO. And it's 8:07. Welcome back to the Twins Magazine Show. Still blazing hot outside here in the Twin Cities, 92 degrees. We do have a wind out of the west at 10, keeping things slightly cooler, but no doubt about it, it's a scorcher outside. Eric Nelson with you. Thanks so much for tuning us in. Shaletta Brundage and Jonathan Lowe helping out with the show tonight. The program producer is Kevin Reed. Last night, opener of the three-game series in the Emerald City, and the Seattle Mariners behind James Paxton as he throws another gem. They knock off the Minnesota Twins 2-1. Tonight, game two of the series, Minnesota 21-25 on the year, faces Seattle one more time. The Mariners are 30-20, so they've got a gaudy record after 50 games. Jake Odorizzi on the mound for the Twins. He's 3-2, ERA 3.17. Wade LeBlanc will throw for the Mariners, a record of 0-0, ERA 2.65. Irvin Santana's comeback continues. Santana still is having issues with his middle finger, and his next rehab start will be with Class A Fort Myers in Florida. Now, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Santana threw 45 pitches in two innings in Chattanooga Wednesday, and he never topped 90 miles an hour. So Santana's comeback still maybe a little bit behind the pace the Twins would like, but they want to make sure he is ready to go when they bring him back up to the Major League club. All right, we have a lot of great segments on this show on a weekly basis. Lindsey Gentzel caught up with a former Minnesota Twins pitcher, and boy, was he good back in the day.
Holy cow, what an inning is
this. He is.
Well, thank you, John. Hi, everybody.
Back. This ball is gone.
No hit, no run game.
Time for Where Are They Now? On WCCO's Twins Magazine.
I was born and raised in Minnesota, and thanks to my dad, I can say I've been a Twins fan since day one. So when this interview came across my desk, it was a name that I was oh so familiar with. Making his debut on April 29th of 1995, this right-hander spent his entire career in a Twins uniform, retiring after the 2006 season. Inducted into the Twins Hall of Fame in 2009, I'm incredibly excited to bring number 22 into the conversation, Brad Radke.
Brad Radke, one out away, one pitch away from having a shutout here and ending Oakland's 20-game streak.
Cleveland has just beaten Chicago 9-7. The magic number is 9. One more out. We'll drop it to 8. Little pop fly. Minkiewicz calls it, makes the catch. The streak is over. Brad Radke with a shutout for career win number 100.
Brad, let's start with your life today. Where do you and your family call home? What are you up to on a daily basis?
Well, to start, I'm in Tampa, Florida. And really, my two sons, Casey and Ryan, they're pretty much been my everyday thing since I retired, you know. But they're doing well. They're one's graduating from high school this month, and one will be graduating from college in the fall.
Wow, so full empty nester coming up.
Yes, totally. So other than that, every day, I mean, I really, whatever. I mean, I just kind of wake up and kind of do whatever is on the list, I guess.
Whatever's on the list. I like that. You spent 12 years with the Twins. The list of characters coming in and out of that clubhouse is just, let's be honest, it's never ending. Do you keep in touch with anyone that you played with?
Not on a daily basis. Just maybe every once in a while. You know, when the team came in town, you know, to play the Rays here a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. Went to lunch with a couple of the guys, you know, and that's really about it. You know, I mean, everybody is just, I mean, there's nobody that I play with local. So it would have to be, because I don't do social media, I don't do Facebook or anything like that. So it's kind of harder for me to kind of keep up with everybody. Every once in a while, you know, when I see them, when I go up to Minnesota, you know, once a year, try and catch up with some of the guys that are still available, you know, like Eddie Guardado and, you know, Joe Mauer and, you know, guys like that are still kind of around. That's really about it. Not a whole lot.
Your entire home career spent in the Metrodome, and I think if you asked some of your opponents their thoughts on the Dome, they'd have less than kind things to say about that stadium, regardless of how much Twins territory loved it. Looking back, what was it like for you playing in the Dome?
I didn't mind it. You know, being a pitcher, of course, with the turf, of course, it was a little tougher to pitch in. But, you know, I got used to it. I know every game it was 71 degrees or 72 degrees in there and somewhat clear for the most part. But, I mean, I was playing in the major leagues. I didn't care where I played. You know, it was just one of those things where I just enjoyed being a professional baseball player, playing in the major leagues. You know, just a dream, just a childhood dream come true. And I know playing outdoors would have been probably a little better, but early April, early spring, it's really, I know the Twins got a little taste of it this year, but I really enjoyed the Metrodome, to be honest with you. But playing at Target Field, I think if I had a choice, it would probably be Target Field.
Well, I mean, it's not really a fair comparison in all honesty.
No, it's not.
You mentioned just enjoying being in the major leagues. You know, you came out of high school in Wisconsin. You were not considered a top prospect. But then we fast forward to today, and you're considered one of the most consistent pitchers in Twins history. When you look back at your career, is there anything that stands out as to why you were so successful over those 12 seasons?
Oh, boy. I mean, I know the man upstairs has a lot to do with that. But I'm just staying consistent with daily routines. You know, I think, you know, maybe being superstitious at times, you know, just doing, you know, coming into the park, doing your routine, your workout routine, and just, you know, going through the daily grind like that. I think just being consistent with just daily stuff, I think helped me just being consistent on the field too, if that makes sense.
Lindsay Gensel here, producer of the Chad Hartman Show. I'm catching up with Brad Ratke, number 22, spent 12 years with the Minnesota Twins. 2006, obviously an incredibly exciting season for the Twins, but some injuries for you during the year combined with rumors of retirement. Was it hard for you to come to that decision considering the way that the season ended for the Twins?
No, it wasn't difficult. I kind of knew that it was probably going to be my last, and you know life is pretty much all about mindset, and you know, I prepared myself mentally as good as I could, I thought, you know, going into that season, and then battling some injuries. You know, that was the hardest part, was you know, not being out on that mound every 5 days. I mean, the 12 years that I pitched, you know, I pushed myself. It didn't really matter how bad I was hurting. I just felt like if I got out there every 5 days, it would be better for the team. So I just went through the grind, you know, just grinded through. And 06 was difficult, just being hurt, not being out there for the guys and for my teammates and for the fans and the whole Twins organization. That was difficult, but at the end, of course, it's always a disappointing season when you don't get to the World Series. So on that end, it was disappointing, but I mean, I did everything that I could mentally and physically, you know, for the 12 years that I played for the Twins.
You made your last major league appearance on October 6th of 2006. So what keeps you busy now?
Well, wake up every day. That's always a good thing. I do live in Florida. I'm very close to the water. I try and get out fishing as much as I can. That's definitely my out. You know, that's just relaxing for me. That's been there my whole life. Just fishing and, you know, just enjoying my family and just watching my kids just grow up and become men and just watch them just perform athletically, you know, on the fields and the court, basketball courts, and watch them grow, you know, academically in the classroom too. It's just been real priceless for me to watch. And, you know, just time goes by so quickly that, you know, I just can't believe that, you know, I've been out of the game already for almost a dozen years, 12 years, and my boys are graduating, you know, high school and college. And, you know, it's, you know, once we're empty nesters here, it's just starting another chapter in the old book of life.
Brad Ratke, a huge thank you, not only from me and everyone here at WCCO Radio, but from all of Twins territory. So good to hear from you after all these years. This interview is a feature we're working on every weekend here at WCCO Radio called Where Are They Now? You can catch it every Saturday during our Twins magazine show.
All right. Thanks so much, Lindsay Gensel. And you can also catch her during the week with the Chad Hartman Show from 12 to 3. She, of course, is Chad's producer. And good to hear from Brad Ratke, 12 seasons in the majors, all of them with the Minnesota Twins. So he was a Twin through and through. He won 148 games, lost 139. The high water mark came in 97 when Ratke won 20 games and lost 10. So a very good year for Brad Ratke. And he was third in the Cy Young voting that season. So once again, always good to catch up with some of these names from the past. The Where Are They Now segment brought to you by Cookies, Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings and APA Medical. We'll have more on the Twins Magazine show coming up after this on WCCO. Ah, yes, indeed. The magazine show rolls on. Don't forget the pregame show, Twins and Mariners from Seattle. That'll come your way in about 7 minutes with Chris Atterbury. And, of course, the ball game will start right around 9 o'clock. Corey Provis and the gang out there at Safeco Field in Seattle. Twins and M's, game two of the three-game weekend series. Well, we have another great feature coming your way. Sloan Martin, this one's for the dogs.
As if baseball in a beautiful park wasn't enough to entice you out to the Twins game June 2nd, here's another reason. Puppies, the nonprofit Secondhand Hounds, is working with the Twins for the franchise's first ever Pet Adoption Day. Sarah Condon is the event manager for Secondhand Hounds.
And basically just trying to spread the word about adoption and animal rescue and kind of exposing people to different breeds that come through rescue. And also that we have puppies, but we also have adults and all different kinds of dogs.
She says adoptions generally pick up in the summertime because people have more time to put toward training and are more willing to with the warmer temperatures. But it's still important anytime to remind people to adopt.
We just kind of wanted to expose the puppies and Secondhand Hounds to a new audience of people, and baseball and dogs kind of ties together really well. And so we were kind of approached by them and thought it would be a really fun summer tie-in.
There will be a litter of puppies along with other adoptable friends. Even if you're not actively looking to add a dog to your family, it's a great time to interact because really, who doesn't want that?
It'll be a litter of like 5 to 6. They're Pitbull puppies, and mom was in a shelter in Kentucky, and then she came up here and gave birth in a foster home. And she was on the euthanasia list, and they were going to euthanize her and her puppies, but luckily we were able to pull them because shelters don't have space for them. So now we have these super cute puppies that we're able to bring. And then the dogs coming will be all different mixes. We're not 100% sure who's coming yet, but it will likely be some in like the 4 to 5 year old range, and then a couple older, more senior dogs for people.
You'll be able to meet the dogs and get the process started, but you won't be leaving with one that day per their guidelines. Secondhand hounds will be out at Target Field Station from 1 p.m. to right before first pitch. Sloan Martin, WCCO.
All right, thanks so much, Sloan. And, of course, pet adoption, always a good thing. Always so many needy animals, cats and dogs out there. So it's a good thing if you can do it. The Twins Magazine Show now in the final minutes of this week's episode. Coming up, it'll be the Twins and Mariners' second game of the three-game series. The Twins will enter the night with a 21-25 record. Seattle 30-20. Jake Odorizzi will pitch for Minnesota tonight. He's 3-2. ERA 3.17. Wade LeBlanc on the mound for Seattle. 0-0 record. ERA 2.65. And again, last night, you may have heard it right here on WCCO, your flagship home for Twins baseball. Seattle in a squeaker, 2-1 over Minnesota. James Paxton was dominant. Game took just 2 hours, 14 minutes to play. Paxton gives up one run, three hits in seven innings, and he struck out 11 Twins. Meanwhile, Fernando Romero, a tough luck loser for the Twins. He was impressive in just his fifth career start, giving up two runs on five hits in seven innings, but Paxton was just slightly better. Mitch Haniger's two-out RBI single in the sixth inning was the game-winning RBI for the Mariners. And boy, Seattle, you don't want to get the Mariners in a close game. They have now won 14 one-run games this season, most in the American League, and they played in five straight one-run contests. Max Kepler was the offensive bright spot last night for the Twins, slugging his seventh home run of the season. So despite being under 500, the Minnesota Twins are very much in the mix in the mediocre AL Central, as they're only a game and a half back of the Cleveland Indians. So they're hoping to get a streak started tonight against the Mariners. Meanwhile, Seattle, 10 games over 500, but all that gets the Mariners in the competitive American League West is a slot in second place. How about that? The Twins, four back as far as being under 500, 21-25, as I mentioned, a game and a half behind Cleveland in second place. Seattle's 10 games north of 500, but they're three behind the World Series champion Houston Astros. Sometimes it's all about what division you play in. As you look around the American League right now, Boston on top of the AL East, a game and a half better than the New York Yankees. As I mentioned, the Indians have a game and a half lead on the Twins. Houston three up on Seattle, 5.5 ahead of the LA Angels. In the National League, Philadelphia has a half-game lead over the Atlanta Braves, and what a story the Braves have been early in the season. In the Central Division, and we saw them here last weekend in the border battle, Milwaukee now has a four-game cushion over Chicago, the Cubs, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. So don't sleep on the Brew Crew. They've won 8 of 10. Colorado has a game lead over Arizona in the NL West, three better than San Francisco. The NL West, a little bit like the AL Central, kind of mediocre at this point. All right, we're out of time. Twins Magazine Show is done for the week. Coming up, the pregame show right here on WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.